Okay, let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this time to be together and to think on you, your ways. We pray for the brothers in Mexico. Thank you for your blessing on them and helping them in the situations that they're facing, that you continue to be with them. Pray for each one of us and give us grace to serve you, to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're ready for chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20. In verse 1 it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and when he went out, And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?' So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen." Okay, so the story about the man that he paid all his workers the same. Some of them worked all day out in the hot sun. Some of them worked part of the day, and then some of them just worked like the last hour. So, but he paid them all the same. And then the workers that had worked all day were jealous. They were upset because they thought they should have gotten more than the ones that just worked a little bit. But at the end it says that the landowner told them, he said, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" He was a good landowner. Maybe he was just wanting to help out these men. They were standing there all day waiting for someone to give them work. Maybe they needed to have work so they could feed their families. And so this man, he could have just given them a little bit of money, you know, maybe just a penny or two, but he chose to give them the full wage, whatever that was, a denarius, because he probably felt sorry for them. He probably felt like they needed to feed their families. But they were upset. They were upset that they didn't get more than the others. Okay, let's keep reading in verse 17. "Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again.' Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' She said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers, but Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Here
you go. What are you doing? Corner and stamp. I'm going to go.
He was talking about the way that people rule over other people.
Corner and stamp.
It talks about a Gentile that likes to lord it over those that are under them. Maybe you could kind of imagine someone sitting on a big chair just calling out orders and telling them to work faster and harder. But it says, Jesus says that that's not the way that they should be, but they should be like a servant. Whoever wants to be great, he should be like a servant, serving by their example, being a good example, and showing them how to do it. Not just telling other people what to do. Okay, let's keep reading verse 29. "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him." Okay, I think for next Sunday, maybe you all can give an example of someone that led by being an example or a servant, not just lording authority, but being a servant.
Last week we were supposed to tell someone like the rich young ruler who just liked riches more than Jesus. And I thought about how Judas, he wanted money, so to get money, he betrayed Jesus. Yeah.
And the book of James, it says, if you're lacking wisdom, ask God for it.
Nicodemus was a leading Pharisee, and he came to Jesus by night because he wanted to learn more about it. And it doesn't say, but we think he was afraid of what the people would say because he was a leader of the Pharisees. But he was coming to believe in Jesus, and so he came by night. That was one thing he didn't want to give up, really.
When we lived in Mexico, some people in the town of Axuxco were trying to follow the Lord for a while, and then after a few years they decided it was too hard and they were tired of the whispering of their relatives and everything, so they gave it up.
I thought of Judas, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He really liked money, and he was said that he carried the money for the disciples anyway. And when Jesus, when that, I think it was Mary, brought in that oil and poured it on Jesus' feet, he said that, well, it would have been good if it would have been sold and the money gave to the poor. Anyway, he was always thinking about money, and then he sold or betrayed Jesus for some money.
Balaam loved money, and when the king asked him to go and curse the Israelites for a big reward, he asked God, and God said no, and he couldn't accept it because he loved money, and kept asking till finally God just let him do it, except God said, you have to do what I tell you to do. And so then he was gone on the way, and the donkey, you know how the donkey fell down, got down, and he kicked it and hit it and stuff. And then there's an angel there with a sword. And so then finally he went and had to bless the children of Israel. And then finally, like I think years later maybe, a while later anyway, that king and his army had a fight with the Israelites, and Balaam was on the king's side, and they died in the fight.
In Mexico, there was a man named Joaquin, and he was wanting to follow the Lord, and we visited him, but he was getting an inheritance from his grandmother, and she kind of picked him to give it to him, and so his siblings were kind of getting into a fight with him, but he just ended up wanting the land instead of wanting to follow the Lord.
Yes, I got the same with Philip. I got Judas was trying to follow the Lord and went around with him with the disciples, but he always liked money and he would carry the money bag. And then when the Pharisees offered him a sum of money if he would betray Jesus, he gave in and fell away.
I thought of the Pharisees. They were kind of trying to be good, but they had missed some of the main points of Christianity. And so they weren't in the kingdom of God.
I thought of King Solomon. He was really wise, and he loved the Lord for a while. But then his heathen wives, he followed after what they persuaded him to do, and he would just fell to idolatry.
I thought about some of the early Anabaptists. They, like in the parable of the sowers, they sprang up fast in the soil, the rocky soil, but they had no roots, so they fell away. And some of the early Anabaptists, they thought it was good, and they followed it for a while, but as soon as persecution started, they fell away, they stopped it, and moved on.
Jonah wanted to follow the Lord and preach and stuff, but then God told him to preach to the Ninevites, and he didn't want to.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it also says somewhere that he's the great physician. And I was just thinking about that, how, you know, if we want to be healed, truly healed in our hearts, we need to do things precisely the way that he wants us to do them. And Jesus himself, he healed many people, and when he was being led to death, they said he healed others, but he can't heal himself. But really, he was showing us the way to be healed, and that we need to die, and, you know, how we can be part of the body of Christ. And that body is going to be something very incredible when it's all said and done. Because looking at our own bodies, they're so amazing. I'd like somebody here, if they can think of what this story is. I don't know what this story is, but it's about a man, that a king maybe, that needed to be healed of leprosy or something. And I don't know if it was a prophet, wanted him to go wash.
Name the prophet was Elisha.
Okay, the prophet was Elisha. And he told him to go wash a certain way, right?
Seven times.
And did he do it or did he not?
He didn't want to.
He did. So he did, and he was healed. And I thought about Peter, how he, when Jesus said, I'm going to have to die on the cross, and Peter denied it and said, no, Lord, you're not going to die. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And, Peter, though he faltered there and didn't, or had a moment of mistrust, he made it through and trusted the Lord in the end. And I also thought about the man. There's a parable, I don't know who set forth this parable, but about the man who started to build but didn't finish, and then the people that saw the building partly done and then never got finished, they mocked him. And so we need to, if we want to be healed, we need to first trust the Lord completely. And then next, we need to follow through with that faith. And, you know, like Peter, though he faltered, he ended up trusting God, and he ended up being a rock. So, and one more thing, I've been reading about a man, he's a Greek, back in the 300 AD, and he's the book's called Galen and the Gateway to Medicine. And he was the man that got together all the knowledge of medicine and healing and sorted out like the myth and the superstition and everything. And he pursued the science of healing and he was a physician. And back then they didn't have any way of knowing how our body worked or anything, didn't know anything about blood. The science back then was that our body has four humors: the blood, yellow bile, black bile, and phlegm. And all these, if there's an imbalance in those four, we'll be sick. And so that's just how they saw these fluids and thought, well, that's how it works. You know, there's like a balance, there's a harmony there. And so what he took all the knowledge of all the doctors and sorted through it, and he also made his own observations, and he was the best doctor of that time. And they used all of his things for 1,500 years after he passed away. And he is one of the greatest influences in Western thought of medicine and also just philosophy. And so, but all that to say that humanity has been groping for answers of how to heal our bodies for years and years, and it's just been this process, this amazing process, and we don't know anything. We're still clueless about how our bodies really work, but God knows. And here's the bottom line of what I'm saying is that Jesus actually knows how we work, and not only physically, but how we can live eternally, because he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and if we believe in him, we won't ever die, you know. Anyway,
I kind of thought about how a lot of people think they have religion and Christianity all figured out, and they just say they believe in Jesus and they believe that he died for them, but they don't understand the true meaning of it. They think they have it, but they don't understand it, and they say all this, but they're lacking the knowledge of the true Christianity.